Welcome back to Dwayne's World for Kangan Institute. Unleash you at Kangan Institute. Enroll now. And for Commander, the voice and data business communication specialist. As we do this time every week, we have a chat to one of the all-time greats in terms of his off-field and his on-field ability. He's been rubbing shoulders with the A-list again. Campbell Brown, AFL Nation and SEN Track commentator, Hawthorn Premiership star. Thanks to Ma Nong Estate, by the way, Ma Nong Estate, for panoramic views of Macedon Ranges, authentic Italian cuisines, and estate-grown wine tastings. Visit Ma Nong Estate. Welcome to you, Brownie. You've had a big week again.
Yeah, it's been a fun weekend, and looking forward to jumping into the weekend and seeing what we can produce.
So, name drop, who you been with this week?
Well, great Cam Luke. I've been with Miles Fitzner. They're the real champions, but I did...
No, heavyweight-wise, I know they are heavyweights of the racing industry, but there's a heavyweight that you were having beers. You weren't having beers with Tyson Fury, really, were you?
I ducked down to the Saint down there in Fitzroy Street, where he was having lunch with some friends, and was lucky enough to be a part of that. And, yeah, he's a monster, isn't he, Tyson Fury? I've watched his fights, the Deontay Wilder trilogy, and... he's a great man. I really wanted to sing American Pie with him. And as soon as I started singing, he sort of looked at me and he said, "Mate, that's all she wrote. I wasn't game enough to sing the second verse."
What's he like? What's he actually like? Did you get to actually spend some time with him? I'm sure there has been a lot of people there around and it would have been a fun atmosphere. But what's he actually like?
Yeah, terrific guy. Pretty humble sort of guy and a bit of a gentle giant. Obviously not in the ring, but... yeah, he was loving his time in Melbourne. Obviously, was here to support his great mate that fought in the main event on Wednesday night. I thoroughly enjoyed Fight Night Wednesday night. And you know, there's a lot of people that are a bit critical of the Mooney Bell Chambers fight. But I'll say this: you know, I bought pay per view specifically to watch them. I didn't know too much of what was coming afterwards, Nikita Zhu and those other fights and. The fact that, you know, Bell Chambers and Mooney had the courage to put their hands up, it certainly drew my attention. I know it probably got the eyes of a lot of people that are non-massive boxing fans. So it was a pretty good spectacle.
Yeah, they threw them. They had a go. And it was a fun three rounds. And I'm glad Moons is okay, because to give away that many kilos in the ring, that's a fair few, 25.
Yeah. You know, he had... he was older, smaller, and obviously the weight discrepancy and the reach. So, you know, the fact that he put his hand up and set foot in the ring was courage enough. You know, and there's a lot of people on Twitter and on social media that can sit on the couch and say, you know, a few things about the fight, but I'd like to see them in the ring.
Yeah, I didn't see any of that, which is one of the good parts about not being on Twitter at the moment. Big game of footy tonight, and we've got a huge round to get to and some winners to get from you as well. So to start with tonight, what happens tonight?
Carlton win, and they win well. The line's 2.5, maybe 3.5 points. Sydney, their last 4 or 5 weeks has probably been, you know, a bottom four standard. They were lucky to get away with the 4 points last week that they didn't deserve to win. Crucial that they've brought back, you know, Tom Hickey and Lewis Malekin for a bit of height. But Charlie Curnow or Mackay should be absolutely licking their lips at an opportunity of kicking a bag tonight. They're undermanned down back and they're not playing great footy. And I think this is a huge game for Carlton in terms of the pressure that's been on them. And Sydney are ripe for the pickings tonight, I think. So I'm with the Blues. I'm very confident.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident as well. Hey, I'm pretty confident the Saints have got something cooking at the moment, Brownie. They've got Max King back. They've got a pretty big upside for me.
Yes, so do I. It was a gutsy win on Sunday night, wasn't it? Because, you know, that they on paper, you thought they'd beat the Giants, but the Giants with Toby Green back really put up a tough fight. And that's a fine... a way to win those close games, and they've been doing that this year. And I think little Jack Higgins is arguably having the best 10 or 11 weeks consistency-wise of his career. He's been great, and obviously Max King, he'll only get better. But a four-goal start is, you know, very nice and exactly what they needed. So while the Hawks were great, they didn't beat much last week. So I think that the Saints will be coming out and being too strong.
And you can make it a family day at the footy this Saturday for Saints v Hawks. Search saints.com.au/tickets. Melbourne Fremantle is an interesting one as well. Fremantle are not out of the equation when it comes to, you know, getting deep into the finals.
Well, you and I both tipped Fremantle last week,
yep.
And they got the job done and did it really comfortably. Their forward line that had been completely impotent in the first 6 or 7 weeks has finally started to get going a little bit. They're getting really good contributions from their talls and their smalls. And they're the number one side in the comp over the last 4 weeks at scoring. And they're not doing it by playing high-risk footy through the corridor either. But number 17 in the comp for bringing the ball through the corridor, which is an interesting one. They bring it around the boundaries and it's a little bit safer, but it's certainly not impacting on their ability to score. And I think Melbourne will win, but this is a danger game for them. And I think that, you know, $3 about Fremantle is not the worst price.
Yeah, especially if you're behind in the tips and you need to try and steal one back at this stage. I'm agreeing with you on that 100%. I can't see the Cats getting beaten down at the Cattery, even though, well, both teams have been knocked around with injury.
Yeah, there's a few injuries, aren't there? But Geelong should bounce back there. Yeah, I mean, they're extremely hard to beat any time, but in particular down at home. And, they should be winning. I think that's pretty. One should be pretty clear-cut for the tipping.
Darwin always throws in a bit of a wild card with the conditions, Suns and Dogs.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I mean, it's going to be slippery and humid, and the Suns haven't handled the conditions up there that well in the past. But I'd be shocked if the Doggies didn't come to play. Yeah, they've been at the start of the year. Obviously, they couldn't really find their mojo, and they got going on the back of Bont in particular, and now all their midfielders are contributing. Bailey Smith had a terrific couple of weeks back. Caleb Daniel through the midfield has been superb. Bailey Dale off the halfback flank, I thought, you know, was one of the better players on the ground. And Tim English is the best ruckman in the comp at the moment. So they're getting a really good spread now around the footy, and that's converting into the scoreboard. So they should win.
And it's weird, isn't it? But it's another week where the boss of the Suns had to come out and say, Stuart Dew's our guy. It's disappointing that he has to keep doing that, but it's a win-loss business, isn't it?
It is. I think it's grossly unfair. I can understand why, you know, as soon as there's a movement in the coaching ranks, like Damien Hardwick, it sort of sets off a domino effect. And Stuart Dew's contracted for until the end of next year. So, it'd be frustrating for him. He believes he's the right man for the job. And, so do the club. But, they need to be knocking on the door of finals or making it. So we'll wait and see what happens there. But, yeah, it would be frustrating constantly having your livelihood questioned every second or third week.
And Nick Holman from the Suns, by the way, joining me a little bit later this hour. Okay, a couple of, well, Essendon, Optus Stadium, Eagles, West Coast Eagles depleted. Essendon, it's an interesting place they're at, Essendon. They're a contender to make the eight. They just need to win these kind of games to keep themselves in the running with all those other teams mid-ladder.
Well, absolutely. And I think, you know, if the West Coast Eagles lost by 118 points last weekend to Hawthorn, who were the worst side in the comp going into that game, they'll be slightly better at home, you'd think, and they'd be slightly better getting, you know, Barras and Hearn and Elliot Yeo back. But, they're still looking at losing by 10 or 12 goals, as far as I'm concerned. And this needs to be a ruthless Essendon side that go there and really look for a big margin, I think, because percentage could play a role later in the year.
What do you expect out of the Tigers and Port?
I'm expecting a pretty fiery affair. I would have loved to have seen Dimmock coach one last time. It would have been pretty good synergy, to finish up against Port Adelaide, where he's a premiership player, and I can understand why he didn't. But certainly the fact that I was tipping Port Adelaide convincingly, and then, you know, this happens during the week, and sides have a really good record at losing a coach and coming out and playing above themselves almost. So I'm sticking with Port, but it's become a 50-50 game now.
And what do you think is going to happen in the coaching merry-go-round with the whole Damien Hardwick to Ware and Port Adelaide and Ken Hinckley, etc.?
It's always a really hard one, Dwayne. I hate speculating because I think I've said this on your show before. None of us really know anything about who's a good coach coming through the ranks and where they're going to go. And I think Damien Hardwick will see again in the coaching ranks, whether it's next year or the year after. I think he's a career coach and will coach again. Kenny's absolutely flying. I mean, they've won 7 in a row, and you wouldn't suspect he'd be going anywhere. So that's probably as much as I've thought about it.
So Collingwood, big milestones. Mason Cox, game 100, still side bottom, game 300. Get the job done against North and keep on keeping on.
Yeah, I think Mason Cox's story is one of the greatest footy stories we've ever had. Because he plays for Collingwood, and because he's quite outspoken and everything, he's got his detractors, obviously, but you could never take anything away from what a remarkable effort it was. 23 when he went to the LA for the combine, never knew the sport, came here, moved to another country to learn from scratch how to kick and mark and everything. And I saw his journey when he started at VFL level, and he's running under footies and dropping marks, and to the gradual improvement to the point where he nearly won him a flag a few years ago, and he's reached 100 games, having nearly lost his eyesight and some of the injuries through the ranks that he's copped. I think there's no better story. So well done to Mason Cox, and Collingwood will be definitely winning. I hope he has a blinder.
No, well said, well said. Crows and Brisbane, big game to finish it.
Massive game. I'm with the Lions. I think Joe Danaher has taken over the mantle of Jeremy Cameron as the most dangerous sport in the comp right now. It was definitely Jeremy's in the first 6 or 7 weeks, but you can't knock 13 goals in 3 weeks for Big Joe, and they've been important goals too. He's playing brilliant footy, and while he's playing like that, the Lions are going to be hard to beat. And I'll ask you this question, Dwayne. If Joe can keep playing well and lead Brisbane to win a flag, I mean, there's still a hell of a long way to go. I can't think of a player in the competition whose narrative around his career would change more. There's always been that knock on Joe. He left Essendon, he went up there, he's laconic, he misses some easy goals and things like that. But if he could deliver on the big stage when it matters, we'll look back on his career very differently if he's a premiership player for the Lions.
Agree 100%, and I'll answer it with this quote, Brownie. The race is long, but in the end, it's only with yourself. And here's a chance to win this race.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's taken a while, and that's spot on. So hopefully they look like such a better side. It just takes the pressure off Eric Hipwood too, who's not in great form, but there's players around him kicking goals. And so when he gets back into form, they'll look even more dangerous.
Yeah, I didn't make that up, by the way, and that's not Plato, that's Baz Luhrmann, if you want to check out the sunscreen song. Brownie, great to have you on. It's Pie Day Friday on SEN. Celebrate Pie Day every Friday with Brumby's Bakery. There's nothing better than a hot Brumby's pie. Grab yours now. Who's going to be red hot, speaking of Brumby's, and red hot on the track this week?
All my tips last week, I couldn't get a winner, so I'm due to bounce back. I've got three for you. One's this afternoon. Ballarat Synthetic, race 7, number 3, Stay in Your Lane for the Hayes Camp. Been around the mark, was a terrific second on the synthetic last start. It should win today. It's about $2.80. Tomorrow, very, very short horse, but one to follow is called Bohemian Lad, the David Van Dyke trains. Ipswich, race 1, number 2. Just run it through your multis. They don't even have a price out for it yet, but he thinks that it could be the best horse he's ever trained. And he's trained Alligator Blood and a few champions. So that is one that should be going around and winning. And then in the Group 1 up in Brisbane, the Kingsford Smith Stakes, Converge the Waterhouse Bot Runner, is around about 10 or 11 to 1. Really good each-way price. It's drawn barrier 1. It was great in the autumn in the Canterbury Stakes. It was huge in the George Ryder, where it was only beaten half a length by Animo. Forget its Doncaster run on a heavy deck where it just came to the end of a prep. I think it'll jump, lead, and be very hard to get past. So expecting it right now, it's I think 11 to 1. I'm expecting it to jump much shorter tomorrow and be the horse to catch.
No, nice tips, Brownie. And that's an omen tip, stay in your lane, because I get told that on the text machine quite often when I'm doing this show. So stay in your lane, not a bad one. Great to have you, Brownie. Always good to pick your brain. Enjoy your weekend.
Yeah, you too. Enjoy.
Premiership star Campbell Brown, AFL Nation and SEN Track commentator. Thanks to Marnong Estate for panoramic views of the Macedon Ranges, authentic Italian cuisines and estate-grown wine tastings. Visit Marnong Estate. Sounds like a great place to head down to if you haven't been there before. And if you are thinking of gambling or having a punt, ask yourself, what are you really gambling with? For assistance, head to gamblinghelponline.org.au or call 1-800-858-858. Stick around. Nick Holman's going to join us to talk the Suns a little bit later on in the program. But Lost in the Wash up next. 1-300-736-736. If it's been lost in the wash, should have discussed it by now, then jump on the line. 1-300-736-736. You with Dwayne's World.